Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am quite a tired Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
You had quite the day today. Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Do you want to tell us about that day?
Busy day filming. Just a lot of content.
So much. We are doing it all for the content. We've edited together the Wrestle Ramble Extra as well, which will have gone live by the time you are hearing this. If you are a Patreon backer, it went live on Friday for you sweet, sweet $5 pledge hammers. It is our 3.25-hour
review. So how long it was?
3.25-hour review of ECW One Night Stand. That is 45 minutes longer than the pay-per-view itself.
Wouldn't have it any other way, because what a goddamn pay-per-view. If you want to hear about me and Luke just wax lyrical about an entire show, and then one match in particular, I've got a five-star, one of my favourite matches of all time. I don't hand out the five stars that often. This show has one, and you wouldn't think it, but it still stands up today as a five-star match.
I haven't stopped thinking about it. Yeah. Have not stopped thinking about it.
It's like my new favourite song.
But if you listen to the podcast that came out on Wednesday, our SmackDown review, you might have heard a bit of a somber intro to that show because Muggins over here made a bit of a balls up and I managed to delete the intro and outro Matt Hardy style. Basically, while doing, we were doing so much recording of the Rest Ramble Extra, I just lost the different files, and then I wiped the card, and it was gone forever. I do have to give a good shout-out, though, to Andrew Holmes, who had the Chavo Classic email, because he just replied to the email he'd sent, be like, don't have to search for it now, I've put it back into your inbox.
Ah, that is helpful.
That was very smart. No one else did that. I had to find the other ones. It wasn't that difficult, I'll be honest, but I still had to find them.
You had to type a few letters.
Oh, well, you don't know how full my inbox is. If you actually, unless you search crap gimmicks, then it does look very full. Otherwise, it's mostly empty. It's just a few business things and you. So do you want to hear Andrew Holmes' email again, Ollie Davis, but everyone else gets to hear it for the first time?
Yes, I can't wait. I have actually forgotten who sent what, but I'm sure as soon as you read the first line, I'll know what it is.
So this is from Andrew Holmes. Hello, Lulliver Dowins.
Oh, yep.
You remember that? So he's combined our names.
It's the Bradgelina. Jen.
I know.
Oh, we're just playing up all the same jokes we made in that deleted, forever to be lost intro.
Oh, Jen. So he is emailed in about meeting Chavo Classic. When I was a young boy, my friend and I went to a local wrestling show, EWF. We got to meet some cool wrestlers like Joey Ryan, pre-Dick Flip, Greg the Hammer Valentine, and Sonjay Dutt. However, meeting Chavo Classic has always stuck out because it was funny. Should I retell my Greg the Hammer Valentine? Well, it's not my Greg the Hammer Valentine story. It's Honky Tonk Man's Greg the Hammer Valentine story.
Why not?
So Honky Tonk Man says in the shoot interview that he will never take ice at a motel out of one of those giant freezers that you get ice in, like ice dispensers, I suppose you would call them, because he once saw Greg the Hammer Valentine having a little whiz in one of them. And he in his true Honky Tonk manner, is like, you can tell me you didn't do it, but I saw you do it. I saw your own eyes. And so he will never do that. So I'm actually going by the honky. That's always popped into my mind whenever I've seen anyone with ice. So let's go back to Andrew Holmes's email. Before the show, my friend and I ran into Chavo and asked him for an autograph, and he smiled and said, absolutely, once the show is over.
What a nice guy. He's just busy.
Absolutely. He wrestled a Doink the Clown impersonator. What a show this sounds like. And won. After the show, we ran up to him elated. Chavo had won. We asked him for his John Hancock, and he looks at us and says, no hablo English, and literally runs away. I was hurt at the time, but now find it funny. Love the show. Thank you for your beautiful. Thank you for being your beautiful selves. That's from Andrew Holmes.
So Chavo was a heel. Was he playing a heel?
Oh, well, I mean, if he's facing Doink the Clown, depends on which Doink you're going up
against.
Yeah,
there's many Doinks.
Unless you're going up against, or you're going up against.
Both terrifying in their own way. I mean, that is good. So he actually said, no hablo English,
Ingles. He's written English in the email, and wow. I'm not a Spanish speaker, and El Fakedor isn't here to ask.
So yeah, well, it sounds like Chavo Classic, just gave up on on the lie halfway through. That's how little he cared about you.
I mean, he literally pulled a Shinsuke Nakamura on you.
Mm.
He did Shinsuke Nakamura's gimmick before it was cool.
Oh, massive heat backstage if Nakamura's stealing a gimmick.
So, we also have an update from Jaron Walker about his date.
An update about the date.
So this is from Jaron Walker, who, I mean, you're going to like him anyway, because, you know, on Google Mail, you've got a little profile picture. His is the CM Punk holding up the lightning bolts.
Oh, let it go. He's never coming back. I hate CM, but I don't. I really like him. Respect what he's done.
So, Jaron Walker. If you remember Jaron Walker, he was the guy who had met a, he described, a very pretty lady wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt. And he did make the cutting remark that she was pretty for someone who wears a Bullet Club t-shirt, which I really liked.
Mm.
And they went out on a date. But we were a bit concerned that he'd already thought that they were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, or that it was a date, a romantic date at all, and not just going out as friends.
Exactly.
Only met like 2 weeks before going out to, well, tell us where they went.
Absolutely. So Jaron Walker writes, hey guys, so I just got home from my date about an hour ago. This was 5 days ago. So 5 days and an hour ago. And I'm excited to tell you that it went well. I heard both of your concerns earlier this morning, and I just wanted to reassure you guys that I know for a fact that this girl isn't officially my girlfriend or anything. That would be a little creepy. However, I took her to the Cheesecake Factory for lunch, and we had a great conversation about random funny things, surprisingly not about wrestling. I drove her home, kissed her goodbye, and drove off. We made plans to go out to a theme park near my house in a few days, so I'm pretty excited for the future. And bear in mind, if that's a few days, and this email was sent 5 days ago,
that could be now.
That could have been, yeah, they might have already done that.
What a roller coaster of a relationship.
Nice. See what you do. I see what you did there.
I see what you did there.
That's like that scene in Spaced when the robot was like, oh yeah, I had a daughter that.
You were so excited at the pun.
I did. It was very good.
You forgot how to speak.
P.S. I never mentioned what opinions my date had about wrestling in the previous email, which Luke mentioned as he read my email out. So just to clear the air of wonder, she thinks that SmackDown is the most entertaining show to watch on a weekly basis, stating that, quote, even NXT can drag sometimes, end
quote.
Hard
woman to please.
And her favourite current wrestler just happens to be Ricochet, which is disappointing because now I have to explain to my mother that I'm dating a mark. Cheers, guys.
Also disappointing because you're going to feel somewhere in the back of your head that you're not Ricochet.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think anyone is doing the sort of flips that Ricochet does on a daily basis. I mean, he's probably not flipping his way to school.
What's Ricochet's relationship like? Like, how does that bedroom go down? Is that just flipping all over the place, or is that when he likes to take his feet off?
Yeah, it's just Spanish flies everywhere.
Yeah, good Lord. So I'm just trying to figure out the timeline here.
Mm.
So Jaron read or listened to our concern about his date and us saying it's not a romantic date, don't get sucked in. Then he had the date just later that day, and then within an hour of getting home, had already clicked send on the email to us.
And had kissed her as well.
And had kissed her.
But, and ooh, he was very excited for the future of them going out.
So, I mean, if he had to drive home and then write an email, yeah, that checks out about 5 minutes for the other thing that would happen.
Can I just read this one email very quickly?
Can we not just clap Jared for kissing a girl? Well done.
It's not for everyone, but he, you know. Yeah. Fair play to you, sir. This email is from Brandon. This is actually kind of directed slightly to you. Mm. Hey, guys. Enjoyed the mailbag show today, which is actually last week's episode, but I have a bit of a nitpick for you. Jessica Simpson was not in Southland Tales. However, you may be thinking of Sarah Michelle Gellar or Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore is who I'm thinking of.
There you go. I impulsively bought a copy of the film at a flea market about 2 years ago after getting drunk and watching it with my roommate. It became one of my favourites. Oh, so you're that guy. We love how awful it is, and now our whole friend group quotes bits from it all the time. I personally watch the film at least once or twice a month just for the lols. I guess you would say it's got the room levels of admiration among us. Fun fact, the city that gets nuked in Southland Tales is Abilene, Texas. I grew up in Midland, which is about 2 hours away. Anyway, keep up the consistently great work. Brandon Powell from Texas. Midland is also the hometown of President George W. Bush.
Former President George. I don't know how it works in America. Do you always have to call them president if they were ever president?
I think so, because isn't that the joke in, like, The Simpsons? When George Bush moves in next door, they keep calling him President Bush.
What a weird country America is.
It is a weird country full
just
of...
just got some weird things.
It's full of just weird people who are doing really deplorable things, like watching Southland Tales once or twice a month for the lulz.
Yeah.
It's not The Room, mate. What are you talking about?
But that's why I love America, because of all that weirdness. So that's extreme. I mean, I haven't seen it for a while. And I have an unironic appreciation for the film. I actually think it's quite fascinating. I don't know how you can't watch the Justin Timberlake song musical sequence and not sit back and go, what the F is happening here? I'm enjoying the heckins out of it. And like when two cars have sex with each other, it's like, okay, right, whatever this is, it's something that somehow got made to quite a big budget degree. I'm happy this exists.
It was Richard Kelly was the director as well. We couldn't think of it last week, and neither of us thought to research that. And actually, and contrary to what usually happens, no one pointed that out in the comments either. That's just something I remembered then.
Well, I think it's because everyone forgot about him. Because he made Donnie Darko, then he made Southland Tales, then he made The Box. And
yes,
that's
he
the
did.
Last I ever heard
that's
of it.
That's right. It's a Richard Matheson. They did it as a Twilight Zone episode. Let me have a look at his IMDb. Googling things live on air. That's what we do. Oh no. They had been just characters on that one. Do you remember the sequel they did to Donnie Darko?
Straight to DVD.
Yeah, S. Darko.
About his sister, was it?
That's right, indeed. Yeah. Yes, director, 5 credits. The Box was the last thing that he did. It's Donnie Darko, Southland Tales, The Box in 2009.
Whoa, nine.
And nothing since.
9 years ago.
Yeah, man. Like, what a shame. Because he was like, Richard Kelly was like the hottest thing when Donnie Darko came out, man. And I loved Donnie Darko. I can't tell you why I loved it now. Like, I think if I watched it now, I'd be like, that's fine.
It's good.
It is a good movie. It's a good movie of its time, though. Like, it was a very time. It's actually, this might be sound a bit controversial, I have the same opinion of Donnie Darko as I do Pulp Fiction. I think Pulp Fiction was revolutionary in 1994, but is not aged particularly well in 2018.
It's got a swagger. It's got a cool about it.
It's not.
I disagree.
It's not that much fun to watch now. When I was a student, couldn't think of anything better. But now, and I'm re-watching it, particularly watching it with my wife who had never seen it before, it's baggy. So, so baggy. There's so much that can be cut out of it, and it's a much tighter and better film if you did. But it's interesting, you know.
Well, shall we get on with the main show? Well, we're talking about the biggest news of the week, and that is Big Cass's release from WWE just 2 days after his Money in the Bank match against Daniel Bryan, which he lost quite decisively, just like he did against for Backlash, where he tapped out again. So he tapped out in 2 consecutive pay-per-view cycles, but he was still featured in a very main event feud. This was Daniel Bryan's first singles feud since coming out of retirement for 2 to 3 years or whatever it was. That's one of the biggest things you could do with a guy like Big Cass. And Big Cass himself just returning from injury. Very, very bizarre. Are you going to miss him?
Am I going to miss him? I don't know. It always sucks to see someone lose their job. Like, you certainly never want to wish someone gets fired from a company because, like, that's how they make their living. So that's never a cool thing. But I don't think I'm going to miss him cutting promos about being tall, because that's all he was really doing since he's come back. Mm. And it was something I was getting a bit tired of. So that I certainly won't miss. But I was curious as to where they were going to go with him after losing those two Daniel Bryan pay-per-view matches. But it's quite evident now that he has been released, that it was almost punishment, him losing at Money in the Bank. It's almost like maybe he was initially scheduled to win, but then with all of these issues and whatnot, he has been let go. But this was your news story, so you were able to dive more into this.
Yeah, I'll try and give a bit of context on the possible reported reasons why Big Cass was released from WWE. And of course, Cass used to be part of a tag team with Enzo Amore. They were awesome together. I love them. They didn't get the sort of push they deserved, really. They could have been Dudley Boy-level popularity.
I said when they were in NXT, they are the next New Age Outlaws.
Yeah, they were so good. Enzo was, like, carried that act by himself, really. But Big Cass just, it worked. They were more than the sum of their parts together.
I mean, you and I were at NXT TakeOver London. And of those four tag teams that they had, they were the most over tag team in that, like, by some distance as well. Like, everyone was super into them winning the tag titles on that night.
Yes. And when they were split up and Big Cass was booked to turn heel on Enzo Amore, you kind of like, oh man, I wish he didn't do that, because there was a lot more gas left in this tank. But okay, Enzo Amore is reportedly an absolute nightmare to deal with backstage. So you've got this big guy who Vince McMahon is obviously very high on. In fact, it's been reported since he was very specifically high on Big Cass because he's tall and he's got a good look.
That.
Exactly. And you get him away. Turning him heel on Enzo is a way to push Big Cass away from the heat magnet of Amore. But then, like, there were reports last year about Cass not being particularly well-liked in the locker room because of his political views. He was a quite overt Trump supporter. And while there were, you know, I'm sure there's people on both sides of the political spectrum there, Cass was apparently quite blazing about it. So that was the first sort of bit of inkling that something might be awry. Then he's split up with Carmella.
Yes.
Which is another thing. Carmella is on SmackDown. They're on the same brand. So that can't be, you know, that's another, nothing has gone super wrong yet, but this is just the journey of what's happened. And then he comes back from injury and he's got this feud with Daniel Bryan, and it's an angle in Montreal. It's the go-home angle for Backlash, and Big Cass goes to attack a little person dressed as Daniel Bryan. So, you know, it's part of this, I'm a big guy, you're tiny, I can bully you gimmick. And Big Cass asked backstage if he could give the big boot and then continue beating down the little person. He thought that would be a good way to get more heat. And to be honest, I've got to agree with him.
I've got to agree with him as well.
Yeah, I thought that would have been a good heel angle. And it was a good heel angle, because that's what he did. Even though the backstage officials said no. And Cass apparently said, well, I really want to do it. And they were like, okay, let's escalate this to Vince McMahon himself. And Vince McMahon also said no. Because I guess WWE is a different company these days. They're more PR-minded. They don't want to have an angle of someone beating up a little person that much. Big boot, fine, just one shot, but, you know, beating them down, not the best visual. But Big Cass does it anyway. And just 6 days later, at Backlash, he is beaten decisively by Bryan.
Decisively. Tapping out.
Yeah, in just like a 7-minute nothing match. And then he's not on the next week's SmackDown. And maybe that was, you know, slap on the wrist. And then he's back. He's cutting these I'm tall promos. He's feuding with Daniel Bryan again. Then he cost Daniel Bryan a match.
He cost him his Money in the Bank. Well, the storyline was that he cost him because he'd, like, beat him down the week prior, and it was the injuries that Bryan had suffered was why he couldn't beat Rusev. And that was when WWE were doing the angle of, is this the end for Daniel Bryan? Which they then forgot about the week following.
And I tell you what, I haven't thought about this until now. This was during the time of the European tour. And if you remember, Big Cass, it was weird because Big Cass was injured. Like, he would be hobbling around the ring and he'd be selling an injury. And that's why there was a big Cass versus Samoa Joe Money in the Bank qualifier match. But that was pulled on the day of SmackDown for Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe announcement for the next week.
Yes.
And everyone was like, oh, so Big Cass is injured. But then Cass returns. He's like, oh, I'm injured. But then he's not injured and he inserts himself to make it a three-way. And that was a fun match, I thought. But there's been the two reports from Pro Wrestling Sheet and I think, I can't remember the other one, but Pro Wrestling Sheet, and they've found out that Big Cass had personal conduct issues. It was Sports Illustrated.
Allegedly,
that's one of the reasons he was released from WWE, and it was he drank a lot on the European tour, and he was a difficult person. He had a bad attitude when drunk. One of the stories was that he, on the WWE tour bus, he was using the toilet. The toilet lock was broke. He couldn't get out. He thought he was being ribbed. I mean, that's not out of, you know, it's understandable. And panicked, you know, as you kind of would be. I want to get out of this toilet on a bus. That one of the worst places there. Yeah, he breaks open the door because he is 7 foot tall. He can do stuff like that. But then everyone else on that bus had to use a toilet with no door, which is problematic. Some people were understanding, the report said. Others people were understandably upset that this had happened. So, I mean, it's difficult because there's nothing here that Big Cass has done that's come out where I'm like, you know, that's... Sure, he sounds difficult, but I'm kind of... That these are all grey areas, like... Vince McMahon's always like, go into business for yourself. I respect you if you've got cojones. And here's Big Cass saying, I want to be a bigger heel. I'm going to go and do this. And then he gets punished for it. And then there's this other incident where it's, you know, it's a guy trapped in a enclosed space. I can see why you would want to break out of that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And it's that, the Vince thing I find very interesting as well. Like, from what Brian Alvarez said on Twitter, that the word that he had heard, is that Vince just essentially called a meeting at SmackDown Live and just, like, announced he's gone. Big Cass is gone, and we're moving on. And that's what he had heard. The Vince one I found very interesting because, as you say, there's always this rhetoric. Vince McMahon himself said it on Steve Austin's podcast. The problem with today's crop of talent is no one is trying to grab the brass ring. No one is stepping up. No one is challenging me on my creative ideas. Everyone is just doing what I say. Everyone is just, you know, everyone is just a yes man. That's the problem with the people like Cesaro, people like Sheamus, listing off, you know, and that's why. And so the brass ring thing became a running joke amongst the locker room, by all accounts. There were wrestlers on Twitter who often made brass ring jokes. You know, it was very much a public thing that they made fun of. And then, like, they got this attitude of, like, well, you shouldn't walk on eggshells backstage. You should really stand up for yourself, stand up for what your character believes in. You know, we're going to fight for your character. And then when someone does it, they get fired. Or they get punished and then get fired. So you're like, well, it's no wonder no one tries to be anything other than what they're told to be. Like, Finn Balor's just like, smile in front of the camera. If he's like, well, no, it makes me look stupid. Like, don't get, smile. Because if you say no...
Smile, monkey.
Yeah, exactly. If you
do
say,
it.
If you say no, you might lose your job.
Mm. It's very interesting. And I feel like the reaction amongst fans to Big Cass being fired is, you know, like, wow, he was in that feud that we were not enjoying. He was being pushed beyond his means. Isn't SmackDown better now he's gone? And, you know, it is. To me, that's not Big Cass's fault. That's the booking of Big Cass.
Yes.
There's something there with him. And Enzo has done a lot of interviews. And these two cases are interlinked for me. Enzo's done a lot of interviews recently, mostly with the Store Horseman podcast. Done some good stuff with them. And he's been talking very candidly about how he wrote all his own promos. And I thought, God, what an invaluable talent that is to have on your roster. Someone who can write promos that well. Potentially they could write for other people. They could transition into becoming a producer. And they can kind of wrestle. At least become a manager. Like, that's something WWE is in desperate need of. Really good promos. And it's coming from the wrestler. And here's Big Cass, who's pitching ideas that are also coming from the wrestler. And that it's... Amore and Cass, I know they... by all accounts, very difficult to deal with backstage. But it's just an example of, you've got to take the smooth with the chaff sometimes, because what's making them difficult to deal with backstage might be linked to how talented they are and what they can contribute to the product.
Well, look, what is one of the most overacts in WWE? Like, not just per brand, but one of the most overacts in WWE is the New Day. Mm. Like, they are a massive merchandise seller. They're incredibly over with the fans. They appeal to kids. They appeal to adults. They are they're a great, great team. To the point whenever they talk about possibly splitting them up, I'm like, don't do that. That's an idiotic decision. You're making so much money off them together. All the stuff that they do themselves. Like, that, they write their own material. And they come up with their backstage skits. They come up with the breakfast cereal thing. They come up with the pancakes. They come up with, like, up, up, down, down. Like, this is all them driving this thing. And it works. And that's because they gave the talent, the creative license to do this thing. Everyone loved last year the Fashion Files.
Yeah.
Everyone loved the Fashion Files. That was Breezango. That was them working with other people to create these skits that people really liked. I mean, what can you say about Finn Balor since he's come back from injury? What has Finn Balor done that creative gave him?
Yeah, I've got nothing for you. Yeah,
yeah,
well, like, creative.
It was the Bray Wyatt's Sister Abigail feud. I mean, that's about the only thing he's done that's worth of note, and no one liked it because it was very bad. And it is just I go back to that eggshells thing of walking on eggshells, and it's why you hear these reports of everyone just backstage just being like, just do what you're told, just be a yes man. And then on the same segment that you got Vince McMahon going like, "Oh, no one's challenging me." Like, that's the problem with the talent of today.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. I'm sad that Big Cass has gone. I actually am. I thought he had more to contribute, and I definitely thought he had more to contribute with Enzo Amore. And I guess to finally address 12 minutes in, what next for Big Cass? Surely Enzo and Big Cass teaming up on the indies. Enzo, he was announced for House of something. It's a wrestling
one.
Yeah, it's a wrestling promotion.
We actually got an email from someone who works on that show to say that Enzo was booked.
Oh, okay. And then he pulled out, but it seems like he's in again now. So Enzo is going to be making a wrestling, his first wrestling appearance since January, when he was released by WWE around August time. Big Cass. I mean, it's interesting how this release. A couple of weeks ago, I can't remember. It was WrestleVotes pointed out. Isn't it weird how no one has, but we haven't had that post-WrestleMania spring cleaning of talent yet. And then he said, probably wait until so-and-so date, because so-and-so date means the next time they could work for another promotion is September the 2nd.
Is After All In.
The day after All In. And, you know, maybe Big Cass was actually due to be let go a couple of weeks back, but they just recycled the feud with Brian because it was just copy and paste, and then...
But you gotta wonder, though, because Big Cass going to the indies is certainly an option, and Big Cass teaming with Enzo on the indies is certainly an option. And there's quite a few talents that have left WWE and have found great success outside of it and are making more money than they would have done had they stayed in WWE. Cody is the best example of this. Rey is doing great. Jericho is doing very well for himself. Jericho, you listen to him in interviews, whether it's in character or not, is like, oh man, the money that I make from doing these shows is... like, it's incredible. So to the point where I now have to turn down a lot of shows because they're just not offering me the money that I could make elsewhere. So there are talents like that. However, there's also the other side of that coin, which is the WWE talents who left that haven't done as well. Your Rybacks, your Simon Gotchers, there's a litany.
Jack Swagger.
Exactly. There's a litany of these people that have gone to the indies and are essentially have gone backwards, have gone very, very far backwards, and haven't made a name for themselves at all. And you've got to wonder now whether Enzo and Cass, together as a team, can find enough goodwill from a wrestling audience, given the 2018 that the two of them have had. Can they find goodwill enough to find that 2015, that 2016 love that people had for them on an independent level?
I'm telling you, man. Enzo Amore and Big Cass, heel tag team, Ring of Honor. Take my money. I think they come in and they pull that act. So everything you loved about them in NXT, they're just douchebags about it now. And then eventually people will like them so much, they can go back to being NXT with the stabilizers off. And Enzo can cut really like scathing promos that I assume he's more than capable of listening to that rap song.
Yeah. Did you see Simon Gotch's comments about that?
I saw that he wasn't a fan.
He was not. Well, I mean, I don't think you can find many people that were a fan, but his comments were very, very kind of scathing of him, which is like, it's so irresponsible to write that song because that girl clearly needed some medical help and sort of professional advice, not a rap song diss about her that'll probably just make her worse.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But at the same time, if Enzo really was falsely accused and lost a job over it and then has, you know, ruined his life for the last 6 months, I can see why one would be so angry to write a stupid song.
I was going to say, well, you know, Ken Barlow of Coronation Street was also wrongly accused of sexual assault. He didn't write a rap song off the back of it, though.
It's Ken Barlow. I've just got one more thing I want to say on Big Cass.
Was it Ken Barlow?
And it's a bit of a weird conspiracy theory.
It wasn't Kevin Barlow. It wasn't Ken Barlow. It was someone else. It was Kevin Webster.
Right. This was, yeah. So, earlier this year, there was a rumour when John Cena and Nikki Bella broke up.
Oh, this is... Okay, so, fun fact for you here. This one was a little bit of... like a nugget of conspiracy theory that Ollie dropped on me the other day. And, I mean, just prepare yourself for this one.
No, I'm not saying... I haven't read this anywhere. I'm not saying this is
this
in
is
any way true.
Your
this
conjecture.
Is just... This is when... So, earlier this year, when Nikki Bella and John Cena broke up, yeah, in quotes... there was a rumour that came out from quite a few reputable places, independently of each other, that John Cena was dating a Total Divas star. And just by the process of elimination of who's got, who's, you know, sort of engaged and married to other people, and who's not the Bellas, it's Carmella. So there was this rumour that John Cena and Carmella are seeing each other. And as soon as I read that, so, and this was way before any Heat or Big Cass had even returned, I just got a pang in me, went, I bet Big Cass hasn't got long left then.
And that also, as well, I just remembered, that news coincided with her winning the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Mm. Mm. It's just, it's, you know, we're not saying anything.
Conjecture.
It's just these things did happen at the same time. And there is a history visit. It was Kenny Dykstra when John Cena had the affair with... Mickey James, and then Kenny Dykstra kind of was unceremoniously dumped from the company. There's a track record here.
The man from Crime Time.
Yep, JTG.
Yes.
If you get on a side of Cena that you do kind of get buried or released in the company. And yeah, it was just with that in my mind and that happened. And then, like, I mean, I'm not saying that, it's just, I'm just laying out the timeline here. All of a sudden, Big Cass is drinking. I've never heard any reports of Big Cass being a problem backstage drinking. I know when I broke up with my, an ex-girlfriend and they finally moved on, I started drinking quite heavily and going out a lot more and being a more general douchebag for a couple of months. So I'm just saying that was, it's curious, isn't it?
It is curious, yeah. I mean, I don't want to speculate further on that because we don't know enough information and I don't want to add any...
So just add my personal experience and I'm laying it on what's happened.
Mm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So another news story in this week, and one that I thought was particularly interesting.
This is a real interesting
one. This is a really interesting one. And there's nothing in this that is conjecture, because this is something that the company themselves have announced. So, last week, Sinclair Broadcasting made the big announcement that Ring of Honor were going to do their biggest show ever. And it was going to be at Madison Square Garden. They didn't announce what date it was, but the big rumour and innuendo was it was going to be over WrestleMania weekend, because that is in the, well, it's in New Jersey, but they're calling it New York because WWE don't like New Jersey.
It's the New York area.
It's the New York area, exactly. So they're going to do their show in Madison Square Garden on the Saturday, competing against NXT, which will be in the Barclays Center. Because WWE only do like one or two shows from Madison Square Garden these days. And they certainly don't do anything. They're just house shows, because...
Well, they're big house shows.
Big house shows, exactly.
Undertaker will appear. Brock Lesnar will have special appearances.
A title change at them. AJ Styles won it last year. So they do these sorts of things. Now, Madison Square Garden and WWE have got a very, very, very tight relationship. In fact, as I was reading today, no other wrestling organization has done a show at Madison Square Garden in a century.
Since the 1920s.
That's how in bed with each other they are. WCW tried to run a show in 1994 because they had Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair for the world title on the card, and Madison Square Garden agreed to it. 2 weeks after it was announced, they announced that the show had been cancelled, and wouldn't you know it, WWF ran a show on the exact same date instead. And that's where Diesel won the WWF Championship instead. So they have a sort of a history with these things. Anyway, so Ring of Honor announced this big show that they're going to be doing at Madison Square Garden. And Dave Meltzer reported shortly after that announcement that there was already behind-the-scenes work in WWE to get that show cancelled. And yesterday, we're recording this on Thursday, so yesterday being Wednesday, Ring of Honor, COO, his name escapes me now.
Joe Koff.
Joe Koff, thank you. I meant to write down.
Joe.
Nice. Joe Koff told Mike Johnson of PW Insider, we're not doing the show anymore. Madison Square Garden contacted us and said that they pulled us from the date, and because WWE contacted them and asked them to pull the show. And he said, we're not going to speak any more on this because we're not allowed to. I don't want to instigate anything. But Dave Meltzer also wrote that they are planning a legal action, or at least there's been talks of some possible legal action. Now, what's interesting is that Madison Square Garden agreed to the date, but no contract was signed. So all they've got is a verbal agreement. So that's, I think, I mean, I'm no lawyer. It's going to be very hard in a court of law to kind of like uphold or anything like that. But this is, once again, WWE sort of pulling their weight and saying that they're the only wrestling promotion that can run Madison Square Garden and nobody else can. And Ring of Honor are already looking for other venues in New York to run that date instead. But yeah, it's just kind of like... And apparently what Meltzer wrote in The Observer is that it only took one call. It was one call to Madison Square Garden. And it wasn't even from Vince McMahon. It was just from a higher up, and the show got cancelled.
It's something is up there, yeah. It's weird because this will be 2 years now where WWE and Ring of Honor have butted heads legally. And last time Ring of Honor won, it was when WWE essentially went Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Donovan Dijak,
War Machine,
Bobby Fish. They were all Ring of Honor guys. And they were like, yeah, yeah, just come over to us when your contract's up. You're not allowed to do that. It's contract tampering in the United States. Apparently it's fine over here. And Ring of Honor were like, because Ring of Honor is owned by Sinclair Broadcasting as a company, as potentially evil as it is, way bigger than WWE. And they were like, no, you can't do that. And all Sinclair's lawyers were like, don't do that. And that's why all those wrestlers, O'Reilly, Cole, Fish, were in limbo. They just disappeared from the indies. Well, not the indies, but like the main New Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact. They just disappeared for 6 months, and they didn't debut in NXT until the summer, when the heat had died off from all the contract tampering allegations. And now this year, we've got it around Madison Square Garden. And I, from what I'd read previously, Madison Square Garden were annoyed with WWE because they were running all their big shows in the Barclays Center now. And the Barclays Center is like MSG's big competitor, but it's cheaper to run Barclays than it is MSG.
More seats as well.
Yeah, yeah, you can make more money on it. So it makes total sense. But that's why MSG started to entertain offers from Ring of Honor, from AAA.
I was going to say, AAA announced they were going to be running a show next year.
This year. It was September.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah,
I was going to
say,
they also announced they were going to do one next year as well in 2019.
Right.
But I'd imagine both of those shows probably aren't going to happen now. Because if WWE, all they have to do is just make one call, then that's it. Like, they can't do any shows there. They've essentially monopolised the market.
Yeah, really, really interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how Sinclair react to this one.
Apparently the word is that they were furious.
Really?
Furious that the show has about to be cancelled.
Because I didn't read about the Ring of Honor show, the big show, their largest show ever or whatever it was. From Joe Koff, I read about that from Sinclair's top executive.
It was the Sinclair CEO.
Yeah, yeah, like in an interview with the Baltimore whatever. And yeah, that was him saying, well, you know, certain things have happened. All In sold out 10,000 seats. This huge deal with Fox that SmackDown has just made for $1 billion. Of course, the other TV companies are going to go, what wrestling stuff do we have? Oh, we've got a Ring of Honor over here. Surely we can do something with that to kind of tap into this big revenue stream. So now that was part of them. They talked about upscaling all their production values and stuff like that to make it look like a more expensive show. Because as great as Ring of Honor is, that production quality is lacking quite heavily. When you look, Impact is far and beyond Ring of Honor, in my opinion, for how it looks aesthetically. So it'll be very, very interesting to see if Sinclair take on WWE in this.
If you want to send in your crap gimmicks, send me an email, luke@wrestletalk.com. If you're new to the show, crap gimmicks is our fun little feature where you send us your crap gimmicks to go into crap gimmick wrestling. So far, we've had people like the Fishmonger, who's your favourite, Prof Wrestler got signed last week, Beastmaster, WrestleBot 1000, and we've got an amazing artist now who is doing these brilliant like trading card drawings for us. The one he's done for Prof Wrestler is superb. He's got a wonderful little pun on the guy's t-shirt. I think it's awesome.
We'll have it out soon. Yeah,
we'll have
being worked on.
That's what she said.
Chris Tillett, his name is.
Yes, Lewis. No,
Lewis Tillett. Lewis Tillett. Lewis Tillett.
He's also on Patreon. So we have got three crap gimmicks for you.
Okay, now, I haven't heard these.
Now, if you have sent me them and we have not read them out, I do apologise. I have got a big backlog of them. So,
it's a very popular segment.
It is indeed. Like, as soon as when I know this episode has gone live, because all of a sudden my inbox gets full with crap gimmick suggestions. So this one comes in from Deshaun Black, and he has suggested Maximum Break, the Underground Street Snooker Champion. Maximum Break.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a 90s action movie just from Maximum Break.
Yeah, starring Keanu Reeves.
Okay, by the way, I'm already quite into this because I love snooker.
Maximum Break is a bald, 6-foot, roided-up, snooker-playing wrestling beast who sports a snazzy, dapper waistcoat and some shiny shoes. Maximum Break doesn't enter the arena until the MC has gone through a long-winded introduction. While this is going on, you can see Maximum holding his cue, psyching himself up backstage, ready to enter. Maximum has a submission hold which he is banned from using, where he grabs both of his opponent's arms and sticks his knee into their back. This puts his opponent in great pain, but because their arms aren't free to tap out, they are effectively snookered. That is Maximum Break.
Oh, is that it? Oh, okay. Oh, I thought there was a lot more mileage in the gimmick. I saw him as a kind of Peter Ebdon snooker player, where he would get out the ring and look at all the angles
yes.
for ages, setting up his shots.
Unfortunately, there is a little bit more to this, but I felt that the more Deshaun said, the further he got away from the snooker gimmick. There is some mileage in a... I love the visual of like a Brock Lesnar, a Lars Sullivan type wrestler, and you give him a snooker gimmick.
Yeah,
there's
and it's
so much mileage in that.
And he'd come to the ring with his snooker cue, and he'd just put it on the side, and you know, well, that's an illegal weapon that's going to get used later. And he can extravagantly put the cue together in the middle, twisting it on. Oh, he's a bit further away than he should be. I'm going to need to get the telescopic extension, put that on the back, and then jot right in the gut. Work on that, Deshaun Black, because Maximum Break, I really like the first line of what you said, but there's so much more that you haven't tapped into.
Yes, I can.
So that's a note. Well, we'll decide at the end.
Steven Zucic has sent in a female wrestler. Her name is Aurora Rose. She comes down in a dress similar to Lana when she wrestles. Rose has insomnia. Oftentimes, when people put her in head-based submissions, she'll nod off. Because of her condition, she doesn't stay asleep long. They'll do a count to three before she wakes up and gets out. When she wakes, she goes into a Hulk Hogan-type rage where she is basically untouchable. This is why she's known as the Insomniac. Rose's sayings are usually puns like telling doubting management not to sleep on her, telling people flirting with her in your dreams, or telling her opponents she's putting their lights out. Her finishes are the Brer Lock, which is a modified sleeper hold, and the Sleeping Beauty, which is a go to sleep. So that is Aurora Rose, an insomniac, essentially. Although it feels that's more like a kleptomaniac if they're just falling asleep.
No,
at random
narcoleptic.
Points. Narcoleptic.
Kleptomaniac steals things.
Steals things, that's right, yes.
Yes, I was thinking the exact same thing. This is a narcoleptic gimmick. But that's got mileage as a narcoleptic gimmick.
Yes.
I thought that'd be quite funny because then they could have... But it wouldn't be them falling asleep. It would be them putting on a submission, but them falling asleep in the submission themselves. And the referee would then raise her arm, who's... Yeah. What do you think?
I think there are some... I don't understand the dress part of it, like wearing clothes similar to Lana. It almost feels like they should be wearing almost like satin bedroom.
Like a nightgown,
A nightgown, yeah. I think there is some stuff in there that works. I particularly like the Hulk Hogan, like, rage out thing.
Yeah. And so it feels like you started with Insomniac and then worked backwards from there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that level of contrivedness. Or actually, maybe... You know, like the 19th century cliche bed thing where you've got the big sleepy hat on.
You're talking about Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, and the big pajamas.
Yeah.
That would be better. And it wouldn't be objectifying because that is a very unflattering look for anyone.
One more we've got here from Andy Power.
It's a great name.
It is a great name. My crap gimmick is a heel character called the Barman Barney Tender. Bartender. Now, I'll be honest, we did get another email suggestion in for a like another bartender type gimmick, but I thought this one was better. I imagine him as a rough, middle-aged, 300-pound guy in a shirt, trousers, and most importantly, an apron/pinny. His finishing move would be a knockout maneuver like a punt kick and call it closing time, or a powerbomb-like maneuver called the Jaeger Bomb, copyright pending. When he comes to the ring, he could offer out bottles of beer to the audience, but refuse them service because of their rowdy behaviour or his belief is they are not of age to purchase alcohol. He may even go as far as to take drinks off the audience because they've, quote, had enough. In matches, Barney could conceal weapons in his apron like a corkscrew or a sugar glass bottle to use when the ref is not looking, similar to Regal and his brass knucks.
I like this a lot. I really like the glass bottle that you can smash on people as well.
Yeah, it's like Jarrett's guitar.
Yeah, I'd make it a glass. What's it called again? The sugar glass. Is it sugar glass that breaks easily?
I think that's what he's.
Yeah, sugar glass, but a pint glass.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I don't know if is it Stephen? It's Andy Power is American or English, but I've got an English bartender in my head. Maybe I'm being worked, but I hear this guy and I see him as a friendly bartender.
You're thinking like Al Murray.
Yeah, and he is giving beer to all, because people always send in heels to the crap gimmick roster, it feels like a lot of the time. And I thought this had potential as a babyface, at least at the start. And then he goes back like good godfather to goodfather style, goes all right to censor on everyone. And then he's like, no, I'm going to take your beer away. But that is also a good gimmick. So it is. I do like it. What do you think?
I also like the idea with the sugar glass. I like it being a bottle, but rather than a beer, but beer bottles also works. Well, a bit like James Storm, I suppose. The genius of that, though, is because you can put liquid inside it. So when you smash it, not only do you get the big smash of glass, you also get loads of liquid falling everywhere as well. It's a really nice, interesting visual. There's like handing out beers, take them away. That's all a little bit mixed. There's certainly things like taking beers off people, I think, is certainly good. And I also like the Jaeger bomb as a finishing move. That's always really nice. And you can get away with those sorts of things. At least ECW did. Sandman's finisher was either the Rolling Rock or the White Russian Leg Sweep. You can get away with these sorts of things.
He can. If he was a babyface, he could also, if the heel has a manager or a crony at ringside, he could properly get them by the scruff of the neck and throw them out.
Yes. Yeah. I like the... Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of bartenders. I can visualize... Again, I kind of went with the Al Murray. That was the person that came into my mind. So I like Barney Tender, the barman.
I like Barney Tender, but he's not perfect for me. Mm. Like, if we had an NXT for crap gimmicks, I'll poop him in there. I'll poop him in there. It's good, Andy, but we've got a high level of crap.
So I'm
going to say no to all three for
this. I was going to say Barney Tender, Aurora Rose, and Maximum Break. Maximum Break, I thought, had the most potential, but it petered out towards the end. Mm. I thought of a crap gimmick of my own this week that you couldn't. I haven't really fleshed out. It actually came off the back of Gorilla Position. It was a joke that they were sort of making, and I tried to flesh out a little bit more, which is a tag team called Friends with Benefits, but the manager is called Benefits.
That's good.
And they think they're friends. Like, it's a double entendre.
Well, can we look forward to that next week?
If I've got time.
If you've got time.
Yeah. Just to give you a little update, Oliver Davis, although by the time the next podcast will come out, I think this might have ended. My bidding on a Job Lot collection of Panini Sega trade cards from Super Play from the 1990s, I had 70 cards in there, I'm still winning the bid.
Good grief, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, that ends in 3 days.
It does look cool, though. Like, I say that facetiously, but I would like those cards. But then I'll buy the cards, look at them for about 5 minutes, and then be like, oh, okay, that's done.
Oh.
And then, so you like, what you're buying is 5 minutes of, oh, I've got them.
Yep, that's
exactly
what I'm doing.
And then you've just got a storage problem.
Yep, I'm going to buy them, I'm going to look at them, and be like, I had these when I was 8. And then I'll be like, that's cool. And then I'm going to put them to the side, pick out the ones that I really like, and I'd like to put them as a sorry, you're telling me to move my microphone.
Yes, I am. Yes, you keep breathing. I don't know how many more signals of I'm actually moving my mic up can I do? And then you have to stop and ask me.
It's a professional round here. Yeah, I'll pick out my favourite ones and maybe I'll do them in a little frame thing. And I know my wife is listening to this and she will love me saying that because I've got a lot of stuff that I want to get framed to put up in my office. And it's too much stuff to be framed and put up in my office. There's no space for it.
Hey, there's rumblings, Swaff Nation. You'll be the first to hear this.
Well, after Swafters. Oh, actually, I'm Pod Swafters.
Pod Swafters of a new studio. A much needed move for our little operation here.
So maybe I can put them there.
Oh, yeah, you could bring them along.
Bring them along. We'll look at them together. That's another 5 minutes right there.
I see. If this place happens, it's still very, very shaky and a long way off. But that's an extension of our bedrooms. That's what I see. It's like we are moving it. We are stepbrothers. We're moving in together. It's like we're getting a place together and we're going to decorate it however the F we want.
Yeah, and then just bounce around going, so many activities!
Yep. We're going to have like a dance mat in the corner.
Yeah,
some guitars.
An arcade machine!
Yep.
Oh, love it. Actually, did you see the news that Will Ferrell is doing a film with Netflix around the Eurovision Song Contest?
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
Isn't it great?
Because he's got a good voice. He's got a good set of lungs on him.
He certainly has. Man, I mean, there's so much other movie news I wanted to talk to you about. You see that apparently... Disney, Lucasfilm rather, are cancelling all other Star Wars plans they have with the exception of Episode 9. They're putting everything on hold.
Well, what else did they have?
Well, there
They had the Rian Johnson spin-off trilogy.
Yes.
They had that Simon Kinberg thing that was never going to get made.
And James Mangold had signed on to do the Boba Fett movie.
Right.
And there was always those rumours of the Obi-Wan solo movie as well.
I think Kinberg and Mangold would probably end up being the same thing.
Yeah, and but the Obi-Wan John stuff, yeah. Favreau's series that he was doing.
Oh, that
well.
Was a TV thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, they've completely jumped the shark on it. I can't believe we've even gotten to this point, that they only managed to do one pretty good piece of fan service and then it's completely fallen off the rails.
And the best Star Wars movie ever made. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what they've done. I think they made an error in releasing Solo 4 months after Last Jedi blew everyone's minds being so awesome. And, like it felt like 2 weeks after Infinity War. Like, what did they think was going to happen?
Fake news. You can say you enjoyed it, but you can't say everyone enjoyed it.
I'm saying it blew everyone's mind so much, some people think they didn't like it. That's what I'm saying about the film. That's how good that film is. So, right, should we open up our door a little bit and walk over in to Poetry Corner?
La 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 la. La 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 la, Poetry Corner.
It's what we said in the Lost outro, that we are not sure if this is a segment that people like, because no one has said that they like it. It's no one's favourite segment as of now, but we love it.
Well, people are sending in poems. People like it enough to send in prose that rhymes.
There are not that many people who have sent in going like, I'm not a poetry writer, but I love hearing you talk about poetry and read poetry out on air. And who would have thought? I bet you we are the only wrestling podcast that has a poetry corner.
You've why do you even say that? Of course there's another one out there.
No,
it's probably
there
got
isn't.
A really witty name. It's the internet. Everything's been done.
No, it isn't. Every other podcast just going, Roman Reigns is terrible.
Every possible combination of ideas has already been done on the internet. Just give up.
Just give up.
Everyone, just go home, plug in the Switch, play Mario Kart.
Right, so this email comes in from Chris Smith. Who writes, he just sent this directly to you, but you forwarded it on to me. Hi, Ollie. I'd like to submit my own wrestling-themed poem for you and Luke to analyse. I'm not a fan of poetry myself, and I only wrote this to get one to... Try that again.
You've actually already read this email.
I know, but it was on the Lost outro.
I know. But you're still...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I'm not a fan of poetry myself, and I only wrote this one to get on the show, so don't worry about hurting my feelings if it's crap. However, I have studied creative writing like you, and I can relate to your current desire... Study creative writing, punctuation. To your current desire to finally write something. I encourage you to write that sci-fi epic you've been carrying around with you, because the world needs more stories. Perhaps WrestleTalk Get Better does not have to be limited to just improving yourself physically, but also creatively and emotionally. And that is something we were talking about after NXT TakeOver Chicago.
Totally.
Talking about it's... Because we're really into big... We're massively into Queer Eye at the moment. So talking about just dressing better, feeling better. I'm taking so much better care of my beard and my facial hair now since watching Queer Eye.
You know, it's weird because I would never have noticed that, but since you've told me, I do notice it, and it does look better.
Yeah, it looks fuller.
It's like one of those things that you don't notice, but it actually makes a lot of difference.
Yeah, ooh. Totally. Although that show did make me get a haircut that I now regret. despite starting off as just two lads chatting about wrestling, you've built up an incredible relationship with your audience, and if you can inspire even one person to write something, or get in shape, or whenever, you should be very proud. Anyway, here's my poem.
Well, I was going to say, Emma, who submitted a poem on Tuesday's episode, she said that she's gone to join a writing group.
Yeah.
So that's one. Everyone, if you do anything that is a step... I know I just told you to give up. If you do anything that is a step towards something you really want to do that's a creative outlet or a physical outlet or whatever, let us know and we'll cheer you on.
Exactly. So, do you want to hear Chris's poem again?
I mean, I've already yeah, have, yeah. but yes.
The northern lights shine bright tonight, and yet the darkness grows. We stand together, stronger than ever, all while hatred flows. We burned down the architect and put the big dog down. I've called myself a king before, but my friend wears the crown. So tonight we celebrate the king. I give to him a gift, unaware that this whole time between us is a rift. It's widening beneath me as I begin to shout my love for my best friend, although the countdown clocks run out. He also has a gift to give. It even says my name, but his name too is on the back, and in his eyes no shame. He lashes out and beats me down. I can still feel his fist, but as I fall, I tell myself that he just made the list.
Bravo, Chris Smith.
For someone who doesn't like poetry, it's pretty good.
Really good. Of course, it is the one of my all-time favourite angles, the Festival of Friendship segment between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. It's written from Chris Jericho's point of view. Hearing it a second or third time, or whatever it is now, King doesn't work for me.
Mm.
Has Chris Jericho ever referred to himself as King?
King of the world.
Really?
Yeah. That was his gimmick in like two. It was like one of his Fozzy things. He had a Fozzy song called "The King of My World."
Mm.
So I think that might be what it's a reference to.
Maybe that's my fault then, because I hear King in the context of wrestling, and my mind just goes to Triple H, and especially
not
with
Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, and that guy, and especially with all the Seth Rollins stuff that's in there, it's hard not to get bogged down in that. But everything else, like, really thematically works. The countdown clocks,
that's
really
good. Nice, yeah.
Yeah, the lights.
It's funny as well, because when he was talking about the architect and the big dog, my mom was like, well, Dean Ambrose then. Mm. But I was like, but how does this tie in? And then I thought, is it the moment when Seth turned on the shield? But as it goes on, it goes on, it goes on. You reveal more, you find out more. It's good work.
Yeah, and it just reveals as that awful period of Raw in December 2016, when it was just Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Chris Jericho, and Kevin Owens. Again and again and a bloody again.
Oh, it was a wonderful time for you,
wasn't it? Oh, I hated it. If it wasn't my job, I would have stopped watching.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. Someone actually said this. You know when I said in the Money in the Bank review that the big casting was just a waste of our time? And, like, because he lost again, I was like, my time has been wasted. All of our time has been wasted because we spent time watching it. I spent time writing about it. We've spent time talking about it. You've all spent time watching it and listening to it. And all of that time was wasted. Someone in the comments pointed out, I was like, none of your time has been wasted. That's your job.
Yeah, but you can waste time at a job. Imagine like a boss who gives you this whole project and you put loads of work in and they just go, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore.
It's a waste of time.
That's definitely a waste of someone's time.
I completely agree. Yes. So anyway, that is all. We've gone quite long on this intro and outro, making up for lost time, I suppose, even though it's basically the same one we did yesterday. But we will reopen Poetry Corner. If you hate Poetry Corner, let us know. I mean, we're going to ignore you because we like doing it.
Write a poem about how much you hate it.
I am waiting for Real Dan's Dan to send in his poem.
Oh, yeah, that's
because I know
good.
He's working on one. He must be working on one.
He enters every single thing we do.
He must be working on one.
Yeah. Looking forward to it, Real Dan's Dan.
So that is all we've got time for today. I've been waiting for you to do the sign-off because usually you're the one who calls time on things.
Well, yeah, I thought you were wrapping up anyway, but we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yes, so you want
for Raw.
Yes, we'll see you for the Raw review on Tuesday. Hope you enjoy your weekend. Let us know. Email in luke@wrestletalk.com. Get in touch with us for your correspondence. But until then, I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.